You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm John C. Scott, and over many years of broadcasting in Tucson, I have seldom recommended without any reservations an auto repair shop to keep my car running. I know nothing about car repair. If the car runs and it stops, it's good enough for me. I can tell you I've been ripped off so many times I can't count them. Finally, that's changed. Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works has advertised on the station for years. I paid no attention until the timing belt went out on my car, the engine was destroyed. I talked to Mike, he told me what I needed to do and what I needed not to do. I trust him. I'm glad I did. It saved me over $1,000. Mike and I aren't on the same political team, but we're friends, and I don't have to worry about my car ever again. Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works hires only ASE certified technicians. They're the best. If you want peace of mind when it comes to repairing your car, talk to Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, or call him at 323-8650. Or you can find him online at perfectionautoworks.com. That's it. I trust Mike Emery. You can too. There is one thing certain that political allies and adversaries of Michael Hicks can agree on. Michael Hicks tells it like it is, speaks his mind, and is always plain-spoken. If we ever needed these qualities in a state legislator, we need them now. Arizona is going through some of the most difficult times in our history. The coronavirus pandemic has threatened the health and lives of all Arizonans. The economic devastation will be felt for years. We need a strong voice in the State House of Representatives. We need Michael Hicks. Michael Hicks is the right choice for the State House of Representatives in District 10. This message paid for by Michael Hicks for State Representative.
I'm Catherine Ripley, and I'm running for Pima Community College Governing Board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As a former U.S. diplomat, I was the voice that brought diverse and opposing forces together. Today, as an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and enriched. And now, as a mom who's raised two children, I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. The people of Pima County deserve equal access to the affordable education and technical training programs that only can be offered at Pima. They deserve a fair shot at getting jobs. They deserve equity and dignity in the workplace, and we need them now more than ever. This is a critical election year. We need your voice, your values, and your votes. I want to be your voice to ensure we are all heard. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
I'm Nick Pearson. My motto for many years has been La Comunidad Primero, the community first. Our children are the most important part. We must improve academics and close the student achievement gap. We must improve the technology gap and stabilize the district financially. I'm experienced and well qualified to serve on the TUSD school board. I will provide the balance and strong finance background needed to help stabilize the school district. I'm running for the TUSD governing board, and I'm seeking your vote on November 3rd.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. The views expressed are not those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked-to, talked-about, and listened-to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thanks so much for making that possible. Great final show before the election of 2020. With me will be Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party, one of the best defense lawyers in the country. Then we'll talk with Matt Klink, a GOP strategist and consultant out of Los Angeles. Steve Diamond is running for the District 4 Board of Supervisors seat in Pima County. We'll round out the show. It's a great show. Stay with us. Here is Jeff Rogers. Hi, Jeff. Welcome, and glad you could join us.
Hi, John. Glad to be here.
All right. If this were a prize fight, they'd have called it a long time ago. I mean, first of all, Trump hasn't had any blows laid upon Joe Biden at all, and is, for the most part, hit himself over and over and over again. Why am I still anxious? Why am I still frightened about the outcome of this race?
Well, I think we're all a little frightened because something could go wrong in Florida or Pennsylvania, and the Supreme Court could step in and basically flip this election in favor of Donald Trump. And I think that's a legitimate worry. I think that we have to be very careful as to what occurs in Pennsylvania and Florida. Nothing short of a blowout is going to keep Donald Trump from trying to manipulate the result of that election. And so I think, all of us are looking at it with a little bit of trepidation because of that very reason.
So what could happen that the court would step into this situation?
We're worried that what could happen is the Supreme Court could decide they're going to stop counting at some point in time and do that before everything is fully counted. And then that would leave us in a position where maybe the votes counted on Election Day would look like Trump had a victory, but when he really doesn't have one. Because you have to realize that one of the problems with Pennsylvania, it's not present in Florida, but in Pennsylvania, they're not allowed to start counting the absentee ballots and votes by mail until Election Day.
Good grief. This could take a long time.
Yeah, Florida is much like Arizona. They've already been processing the ballots as they come in, as Arizona has. And so, like most elections, we're going to know, unless it's extremely close, we're going to know what the vote is in Arizona by about 8 o'clock. And maybe, maybe by 9 or 9:30, we'll have a real full idea of what's gone on in here. And I think that probably by 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Eastern time, which would be a couple hours earlier here, we're going to know what happened in Florida. Florida, despite the hanging chads and all that's from 2000, they've shown that they're pretty rapid at processing the ballots on Election Day since then. And so we're going to know Florida right away. And I think most of us hope that what occurs is that there is a significant win in Florida by Biden. If that happens, and it's by a wide margin, then I think we're all going to be going to bed early. And I think that's a possibility. But there have been some people who have expressed some trepidation that the African-American and Latino turnout in Miami-Dade County and a few others has been lower than expected. And so but there's also a trend in that the African-Americans and Latinos tend to want to vote on Election Day and not by mail. So we need a big turnout on Election Day of the Latino community as well as the African-American community to probably put him over the top in Florida. And I think early on, if we see the early results in Pennsylvania favor Biden, then, and we see the same thing happening in Florida, we could be starting to look at a blowout election. And then we have to start thinking in terms of Texas, which also should process ballots pretty fast as well. And if the Republicans lose Texas, this will do what we need to do to really blow up the Trump Republican Party and make them go back to square one and start over.
Well, there's no question that Donald Trump has told lie after lie after lie. You can't even count the number. You get to a particular point where the commander-in-chief, who has said of his armed forces that losers and suckers, then you get into a situation where the doctors fighting for the lives of the pandemic and COVID-19 victims, I guess you could call them, literally are taking the money for the numbers of deaths they report under the COVID-19. I mean, that's so insane, you can't even process it. It's just insane.
Well, I think, this has been a perfect storm against Trump the past week or two. And one of the things that's happened is we set those records last Friday and Saturday of pushing up to 90,000, almost in the 80,000s. And then we had a day a couple of days ago of 89,000. And then yesterday we had 99,000. So we're now approaching 100,000 new cases per day. And at the very same time, we're creeping back over that 1,000 a day death rate. And there are many experts who suggest that, we will be hitting 100,000 a day in new cases as well as 2,000 a day in deaths within the next 30 to 60 days if we don't get a grip on this virus and start taking some more preventative measures.
We know this is going to be a record turnout. More people are going to vote here than perhaps ever in history. What does that tell us?
Well, I think it bodes well for Biden because you know, this extra enthusiasm are coming from voters, young voters that don't vote periodically and regularly. And we're also seeing a lot of people who didn't vote in the last election are registered to vote, and we're seeing a lot of new voters come in. So I think that bodes well for Biden. The other interesting thing in Texas is they have now voted early more ballots than the entirety of the election in 2016. That is astonishing, and they haven't even gotten to Election Day yet. So, and we're seeing trends kind of like that in many of the other states with early voting, although not to the extent of Texas. And we have to realize Texas population has grown by a couple of million in the last 4 years, and the influx of people coming in there are coming in from other states. I don't think it's a Republican tilting kind of crowd that's starting to move to Texas. So, you know, to think that things like Texas and Georgia are within Democrats' reach and could possibly be a victory for Biden is rather astonishing.
We're talking with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. What is the down ballot effect of this race?
Well, I think you're going to see that in Arizona. I think we're going to pick up, you know, at least one and maybe all three of the Corporation Commission races. And I think you're going to see some down ballot people hurt, like maybe Napier. Napier is you know, probably in an ordinary election, he would probably be favored to beat Nanos. And I like Nanos. He's a friend of mine, and he started at the sheriff's department right as I was leaving there in the early 80s. And so, while I like him, I think he might end up and be able to prevail because of all of this coattails and down ballot sweeping up of a lot of other races. And I think we're going to see some of that here. And I also think that we may well take the House of Representatives, or at least take it to a tie in the state of Arizona. And I don't think we'll get there in the Senate, but it's conceivable. But I think it's more likely that we do it in the House, and that could change the dynamic a great deal here.
What about
the other thing you have to realize is we've got two ballot propositions that are going to bring out progressive voters more than maybe even the presidential race is. And that's, you know, the education initiative, Prop 208, and the marijuana initiative to legalize it, Prop 207. Those things are going to bring out a youthful vote and a very progressive vote. And that you know, those are real motivators.
The possibility of the United States Senate falling into the Democratic column.
Well, I'd say it's probably, I'd give us about a 60% chance of picking up the Senate, or at least getting it to a tie that where Senator Harris, who will hopefully be vice president, can then break that tie.
As we take a look at this campaign, what has surprised you most about the final couple of weeks of this effort here?
I think that what has surprised me the most has been the fact that Donald Trump has done nothing the entirety of this year to try to widen his base. I mean, he's reached a point where he's basically appealing to a smaller and smaller group of people with the kind of rhetoric that he's putting forward. And I mean, one example of it was the other day when he was talking about women. He began then to start insulting every woman that he's mentioned. And, you know, I don't think that's going to fly very high with voters. I think he's in a process virtually all the time of alienating anybody who might be on the fence. And those fence sitters are breaking. You remember 4 years ago, you had Jim Comey bringing up this FBI email thing on the very eve of the election and then saying, oh, there's no there. Well, I think that caused a lot of people sitting on the fence to break towards Donald Trump. And I don't think that's going to happen this time.
Jeff, let me take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. Back with Jeff Rogers in a moment.
I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be your new Pima County Supervisor. This district hasn't had a competitive election in 48 years, and I'm running to finally give voters like you a real choice. Our current county supervisor, Steve Christie, supports the failed policies of Doug Ducey and Donald Trump. Christie voted against protecting public health during this pandemic. Christie, Ducey, and Trump made Arizona one of the worst COVID-19 hotspots in the world. Pima County can't afford more business as usual. In 2020, change is on the ballot. A vote for Steve Diamond is a vote for environmental protection, fair housing regulations, equal rights, justice, and economic development without tax giveaways. Steve Christie works for special interests. I will work for you. I'm Steve Diamond, and I approve this message, paid for by Steve Diamond for Supervisor.
Rex Scott is running for Pima County Supervisor in District 1. For almost 30 years, Rex has been an educator, working as a teacher and an administrator in public schools. Rex Scott's nearly three decades in public education gives him the experience in finding common ground and determining solutions to complex issues. Rex Scott knows District 1. He has served three schools within the district, Flowing Wells Junior High School, Ironwood Ridge High School, and Tortolita Middle School. Rex started his career in public service as the youngest member ever in the city council in his hometown of Athens, Ohio. With 23 years of service as an appointed or elected leader, Rex is far and away the best qualified person to be the next District 1 Supervisor. Rex Scott pledges to be accessible, visible, a supervisor with leadership worthy of these challenges. Vote for Rex Scott for Supervisor. This message is paid for and authorized by Scott for Supervisor 2020. Receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times can make all the difference. This is a time to meet Jim Hanley. Jim Hanley owns a financial advisory company. His company administers over $4 million through customer accounts. Small enough to offer personal representation, but large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect and grow your investments. Jim Hanley has the courage and knowledge to guide you through these frightening and troublesome times. Jim Hanley offers wealth management, financial planning, portfolio analysis, social responsible investments, and general financial advice by the hour. Jim Hanley is the registered investment advisor. Call Jim Hanley at 623-3646. Jim Hanley is one of the most respected financial advisors in Arizona. Jim Hanley, LLC, offices at 3615 North Bench Road. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum on this Saturday before the Tuesday election of 2020. Jeff, this election, we always say, well, it's the most important in history, but I can't think of one more important or more dramatic as to the future of this country. What's at stake here on this Tuesday without even having to exaggerate in any way, shape, or form?
I think the America and its democracy are on the ballot. I mean, that is how serious this is. We knew 4 years ago that Donald Trump was going to be a disaster, but none of us, not even the most pessimistic of us, believed it would be as bad as it is. I mean, we really, our democracy is at risk right now. And four more years, you wouldn't recognize this country. It wouldn't be a democracy. We're already pitied by many of the nations of the world as to how we've handled this coronavirus. With 4% of the population of the world, we've got 25% of the deaths, and we now have the record highest one-day total of 99,000 diagnoses from yesterday. So, you know, it's been an unmitigated, unparalleled disaster, and that will continue. And he will basically have his own military in the Department of Health of Human Services. It will be just a disaster. You know, he'll turn the military, he'll turn internal police to his side. We are really looking at an authoritarian leader that if given four more years, particularly surrounded by people like William Barr, he will destroy what is left of American democracy.
You're a great lawyer. Can Trump pardon himself from anything that he's done?
I think the legal consensus is no, he can't do that, and that would not be recognized. But the smarter, but I don't know if Pence would do it, because it would basically be the end of Pence's ambition if he were to if Trump were to resign with 5 days to go or a day to go even in his term and have Pence pardon him. I can't see. If you're Pence, you might say, okay, I'll do it. And then when he becomes the president, he says, no, I've changed my mind, I'm not doing it. I mean, it's hard to say which would be the worst course of action for Pence. Either one of them would be a disaster for his future, if he has any future at all. I think by hitching his wagon to Trump, he's pretty much destroyed any national political options that he has left.
What's the future of the Republican Party post Donald Trump?
Well, my hope is that this is a blowout election. We take the House, increase our Senate, and take the Senate, win by a wide margin. And I think that will cause ordinary Republicans to reevaluate where they see themselves as a party. And maybe there's a chance that they can go back to be a conservative party of ideas that they used to be. Instead of a carnival surrounding a cultish figure like Donald Trump. And that's my optimistic view. The pessimistic view is that they'll double down on all this racism and xenophobia and hatred and divisiveness, and that they'll just, you know, and that Trump will continue to remain a force to be reckoned with, and that it won't be possible for a more moderate politician to emerge. So that's an equal possibility as well.
All right. Predict Tuesday's outcome, please.
Well, I think that we have about a 85-90% chance that Mark Kelly wins a Senate position from here. And I think Hickenlooper wins in Colorado. And I think nationally, I think Biden wins. And I think it will be a decisive win that won't be tied up in court. But all of that's going to depend a lot on Pennsylvania and Florida. I mean, those are... shall we say keystones? The keystone state of Pennsylvania and Florida are going to be key to seeing what happens.
Jeff Rogers, great talking with you. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing part of your weekend with us. We'll be counting the votes with you on Tuesday night.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party and a consultant to the John C. Scott Show. Speaking of consultants, one of the most recognized and respected GOP consultants in America, Matt Klink from Los Angeles, talks about the future of the Republican Party and the outcome of Tuesday's election. That's after these messages in a World News report at the bottom of the hour. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Work Studios. Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor. For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. Five times Beth has asked for the support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County treasurer. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020.
Hello, my name is Representative Pam Powers Hanley. I grew up in a tiny house in the Rust Belt, but my family always had food on the table and a roof over our heads. Arizona's children don't have those luxuries. I proposed legislation to expand maternal and child health and to tackle adverse childhood experiences like food, housing, and financial insecurity. Although Democrats held 48% of the legislature, Republicans blocked good bills like these with partisan gamesmanship. It's time for a new day. Instead of feather-bedding corporations with tax breaks, the legislature should guarantee food and housing security and quality schools for all of Arizona's children. It's time to prioritize the people's to-do list of education, healthcare, infrastructure, and security. As a progressive Democrat, I ask for your vote on November 3rd. Paid for by Powers Hanley for House 2020, I am Pam Powers Hanley. I authorize this message.
From the Perfection Auto Work Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our show. Matt Klink is with us, and he's a consultant strategist for the Republican Party out of Los Angeles. Matt, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, John. How are you today?
Fine. My son lives in Los Angeles, near Huntington Beach, of course, near the water. Why else would anybody live there if you didn't have water? But he said, you know, I saw your friend Matt Klink on KTLA, Channel 5, one of the more respected news operations in the country, commenting on the presidential debate. So you must be a regular, at least part of the commentary following the national events in Los Angeles. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm on. I'll be on an election night from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. Talking about the craziness that's going to ensue when the polls close around the country. So
right.
It should be a lot of fun. I've done it for about the last 5 years.
What's your prediction of what's going to happen on Tuesday? Everybody can speculate on this. If you take a look at it, I said with the opening comments on this show, if it were a prize fight, they'd have stopped it. But maybe I'm looking at it from a very partisan viewpoint here. What do you see?
I think that, well, I'll cut to the chase. I think that Joe Biden ultimately wins. I think that it's a lot closer than people think that it's going to be. And I think that his strategy of hiding in the basement for 4 months has done wonders for him, because Donald Trump was out and his being his own worst enemy, because every time he opens his mouth, you don't know what's going to come out of it. But over the course of the last month, it hasn't served him well. And I think that he's looked weak and old. And I think that there are some serious doubts about his ability to govern. And I think that, a lot of the Republicans are ultimately coming home. And what we're seeing this year that's really interesting. So historically, Republicans, when it's available, vote by absentee ballot. This year, at least in California, because I'm watching it for two statewide ballot measures I'm working on, we're actually seeing the opposite, that the Republicans are not sending in their absentee ballots, and they're going to drop them off at the polls or vote in person. So I would not be surprised in some states if you actually have a red wave that closes out Election Day. But I still think, look, the odds are that Joe Biden is going to win. Coronavirus became the third candidate in this presidential race. And right now it is helping Joe Biden a lot. And every time Trump tries to address it, he just looks like he's flailing.
You know, you talk about cringeworthy, and I've been becoming very cringeworthy following Trump these last 4 years. But the idea that doctors were benefiting financially from reporting the deaths from the pandemic, it just was so insane and so egregious, so horrible, that I said to myself, how in the name of God can you top that? And I'm waiting for it to be surpassed, Richard. But you can't say that. I mean, who could say that? Who could think that? Who could utter that?
The problem with the president is that he doesn't have a good filter mechanism, and what he thinks he says, that may be one of the reasons why so many people are so, diehard supporters of his. But the flip side of that is that some of the things that he says it, and you look at the person sitting next to you, and you're like, did he just say what I think he said?
Yeah.
And it's off-putting. And so the polling numbers around the country that I'm seeing, the Republican enthusiasm to vote for Donald Trump is really strong. It's in the 90 to 93% range. The flip side of that, though, is that the Democrat support to vote against the president is equally as strong, meaning they're not voting for Joe Biden. They're voting against Donald Trump. And in 2016, Donald Trump was the second most unpopular politician running for president. The Democrats had the misfortune of nominating the first most unpopular person, Hillary Clinton, to run for president. But Donald Trump has turned off seniors. He's turned off suburban women. He's turned off a lot of just general suburban voters. I mean, he may lose Texas, not because Texas is going to go blue because they're switching parties. It's because they don't like Donald Trump.
Let's talk about the down ballot effect here in the United States Senate outcome. What do you think?
I think that as it stands right now, the Democrats, I think, are going to take control of the Senate, but very, very narrowly. And if the election is close, meaning that if Trump is closing in swing states, I think that it's in doubt. And, let's not forget that Georgia has two Senate races on the ballot this year. So there's the David Perdue seat. He's an incumbent Republican who is based as a guy by the name of John Ossoff. That's a tight race, but I think Perdue will ultimately win. But then there is the woman that replaced the senator from Georgia, and she's running against Collins, who was very outspoken in the impeachment trial. And the Democrat will actually finish first in that race on November 3rd. But if you don't get 50%, and because of the divided vote, there will be a runoff election in early December. That race could be to see who controls the Senate. So it's fascinating when you think about it. But I think right now the Democrats, maybe 52-48, maybe 51-49, very, very close.
You know, we've got a race here in Arizona that's going to be watched very carefully, obviously for the United States Senate with Mark Kelly against McSally, and that's going to be something I think that may tell us how that Senate will look after this November 3rd contest. Let me ask you a little bit about the down-ballot effect. Jeff Rogers, the former chair of the Democratic Party, one of our regular contributors, was saying, you know, this may affect the down-ballot all the way to county recorder or county treasurer. This effect could go to the, you know, other statewide races, which is the Corporation Commission and such. Do you see that?
Well, in a lot of places it will. I tend to look at it on a positive side. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, record high turnout, and voting is a learned behavior and it's a habit forming behavior. So the fact that people were so upset and cast their ballot or were so enthusiastic and cast their ballot, the bottom line is more people are voting, which is ultimately good in the long run for democracy and for this country and for individual states. Now, you and I may disagree on how those votes are cast, but I think the fact that people are so concerned and so excited or so frustrated, depending upon where side of the aisle you're on, that is going to be super, super helpful. Yes, it will have an impact. The larger turnout will swing some races. But you know what? That's what makes democracy so cool. And I don't want to sound like a election geek, but I like the fact that more people are voting and that people actually have to campaign to broader swaths of the electorate. That's what we should be doing.
Take a look at this race, and you say to yourself, well, the pandemic is what defeated Donald Trump. Historians may say that. The point is that his reaction to it, or his lack of leadership in the early stages of it, which was his downfall. Not the pandemic itself, not COVID-19 and the deaths and the tragedy and the horror of this terrible, terrible event that's worldwide, but his reaction. Is that fair to say he blew it? He didn't offer the leadership that was absolutely necessary. Are you suggesting, or one perhaps could suggest, that no one could have solved the problem early on?
Well, I strongly believe what you just said, that I don't think anyone could have solved the problem, and no government entity is set up to succeed unless we want to do what they're doing in China or in Singapore. But we have this quirky thing called the Constitution that doesn't allow us to do it. But that being said, even with the fact that the government was never going to handle it well, Trump's statements that swerved left and right and, you know, have certainly not helped him. And I think that they did sow some confusion. And I have to tell you that, you know, the news media doesn't help in this either, because they look to something can't just be middle of the road. It's either all or nothing. And they contribute to it, but Trump doesn't manage the media very well either. So he manipulates the media very well, but he doesn't manage them very well. Ultimately, COVID will be his undoing. I mean, shoot, the economy grew 33.5% in the third quarter. Now, granted, it was down 30% the quarter before that, but that still leaves you with 3% growth, which Barack Obama would have killed for when he and Joe Biden held the presidency.
We're talking with Matt Klink, a GOP strategist and consultant in Los Angeles. Matt, let me take a very quick break. Come back and talk to me some more. Will you do that?
Yep, you got it.
Great. Back with Matt Klink after these messages.
Today's weather, sunny and clear with cooler temperatures on the way. Now, back to more music.
This was a great idea, honey, to have the family get together. Haven't seen the grandkids in a long time.
Yes, and wait until the kids see the new pool we had installed. They will love it.
Oh boy, I can't wait. Now let's see. New barbecue grill? Check. Steaks? Check. Cooler full of cold drinks? Check. Oh, and perfect weather? Check.
Wonderful.
That was close. Get undercover, honey. Get out of here. It's a twister. It's a twister.
Are you sick and tired of being told it's going to be a nice sunny day, but it's everything except that? Same with auto repair. You're told it's the brakes, but it turns out to be the engine. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650, for accurate reports on your car or truck repairs, brakes, tires, oil changes, complete auto repair, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
If you looked at an organization and found that morale was at an all-time low, staff was quitting in record numbers, and recruitment was bottoming out, wouldn't you look for problems at the top? That's why so many of Pima County's deputies, corrections officers, and commanders say the top problem in the sheriff's department is the man at the top, the sheriff himself. And they say the solution to that problem is Chris Nanos.
We need Nanos for sheriff.
Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff, authorized by Chris Nanos.
Ethan Orr served in the Arizona House of Representatives. He was called one of the most effective House members in decades. Serving in the majority party, Ethan reached across the aisle, bringing both sides together to benefit Southern Arizona. Now, Ethan Orr returns to public service as a candidate for the Pima College Board of Governors. He is one of the most qualified candidates to ever seek this important position. Ethan Orr is the right choice for Pima College Board. This message paid for by Ethan Orr for Pima College Board. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Matt Klink is my guest. He's a GOP strategist consultant in Los Angeles. You know, if we do rid ourselves, as many Democrats would prefer, of Donald Trump on November the 3rd, which is Tuesday, these problems aren't going to go away. We're talking about race relations, which have never been at such an all-time low. We have an economic situation in front of us that's going to be literally devastating to millions and millions of Americans who may not ever find a job again for a while, and literally those who've lost everything trying to recover to just have something. We've got climate change problems, we've got health problems, health insurance problems, the economy, and I could go on and I won't, but this is going to be an overwhelming challenge for the American people, no matter who's president of the United States on the 4th of November. Matt Klink.
I agree. And I think the challenge is you know, what Americans are going to wake up to pretty quickly if Joe Biden wins is a $4 trillion tax increase that he has said he wants to push, a health plan that will include a public option at a minimum, the potential that the Senate will get rid of the filibuster, court packing, potentially statehood for Washington, D.C. and for Puerto Rico, an expanded Supreme Court to 13 members. America could be a pretty open borders. America could be a pretty fundamentally different country after 4 years of Joe Biden that, frankly, if he starts to do that, you'll see a Republican wave in 2022, because I don't think that the vast majority of the American people want that. Now, if he does what he has talked about, is governing as a moderate and reaching across the aisle, I think that some really good things could be in store, because you and I have talked about this, John. America is going to need Washington, D.C. to work together, not work against each other. So, you know, I would hope that, you know, in a closely divided Senate, which I don't think anybody is predicting a massive landslide where Democrats have votes, a lot of votes to spare, it necessitates that there is compromise on both sides.
You know, so, people are speculating that Donald Trump loses, he'll sell off America's secrets to the enemies of the country to pay off his debt. There's one speculation that he'll set up another government at the hotel down the street from the White House, that he will not go away quietly. In fact, he won't go away at all. What do you think the Donald Trump role will be if he loses on Tuesday?
Well, first off, I don't think he's going to lose on Tuesday. I don't think we're going to have a definitive answer about who our next president is, probably for at least a week, maybe longer. There have been competing articles in both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal about the teams of lawyers that both campaigns have that are combing the United States to watch out for election irregularities. Now, look, in California, we have absentee balloting down. You know, we have, even pre-COVID, half of our voters voted by absentee ballot. So it was never going to be a problem. But other states, they're making this stuff up as they go along, and there are going to be massive problems. We saw it with Governor Cuomo in New York, where he thought he was doing people a favor by providing an indicia on return ballots so that they could be sent in for free. But the post office doesn't cancel those ballots, so you don't know when they were mailed. You know, in California, you can turn, you know, if a ballot is received 17 days after Election Day, it still has to be counted. And there are quirky, in Pennsylvania, if you don't put your ballot in the security envelope before you turn it in, your ballot must not be counted. It's called a naked ballot. And you're going to have these problems coming up all over the place. It could make Florida and Bush versus Gore, you know, we could have that times five.
Oh, my Lord.
It's going to create chaos. And you know what? It doesn't mean that Donald Trump is not surrendering power. It means that the election laws are not clear to determine which ballots should be counted. And, you know, I mean, Hillary Clinton, look, the only candidate that I know who has said that Joe Biden should not concede, Hillary Clinton said he should not concede under any circumstance. That wow. Reminds me of Stacey Abrams in Georgia, who still to this day hasn't conceded that she lost.
Wow.
So we're not going to know for a while, and there will be. The only hope would be a massive blowout by Joe Biden, but he's not a strong enough candidate to pull that off.
Matt Klink, I sure appreciate all the contributions you made throughout the summer and now into the early fall. It's been great talking with you. And I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for spending some of your weekend with us. Thanks for your expertise. Be watching you on Channel 5 on election night. Thanks so much.
Well, I've got it. Let's talk after the election. Hopefully we'll have some real good stuff to talk about.
I have Channel 5 on my cable. I can find you there. I'll be doing that. Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
You got it. Thanks, John. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Let's talk with Steve Diamond. He's running for the Board of Supervisors in District 4, trying to unseat Steve Christie. About 3.5 minutes. Tell people why they ought to vote for you, Steve, and what kind of campaign you've run. What do you expect to happen on Tuesday?
Okay, John, thanks a lot. Well, first I want to talk about the importance of voting down ballot in our state and our local races. Many of your listeners may have seen a column in the Tucson Sentinel today by Blake Morlock, where he talked about the importance of voting down ballot, or down slate, as he called it. But then when he got to talking about the Pima County Board of Supervisors, he said, well, these districts are largely drawn into safe districts, and didn't say anything else about the Board of Supervisors. Well, it's true that these districts were originally drawn to be safe, two for Democrats, two for Republicans, and one to be a bit of a swing district. But I'm here to say that this year, all bets are off, and in fact, the two supposedly safe for Republicans districts, one of which I'm running in, the other one of which Rex Scott is the Democratic candidate in, they are definitely up for grabs. So I'm asking everyone within the sound of my voice and within reach to be sure to vote for all the local offices, including county supervisor, including all the other county offices. It's important. And local government is very important. The county controls, just for a couple of examples, it controls the allocation of money and resources to the county health department, which has turned out to be extraordinarily important this year, but it's always important, and to environmental preservation, including water conservation, water treatment. And these are very important local functions. Also controls development, local development with the zoning processes and the planning processes. So please don't neglect the county offices, especially for Board of Supervisors, because we can make a really big difference if we have more of a democratic, pragmatic majority on this board.
Steve Diamond, thanks for running. Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate your contribution to this campaign of 2020, because you've said there hasn't been a contested race in this district for decades, and now there is one, and you're a serious challenger. We're out of time. I appreciate it, Steve. Good luck to you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks a lot, John.
You bet. Steve Diamond running as a Democrat in District Number 4 for the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I want to thank everyone for following us through the summer and into the early fall. I want to thank Mike Emery, who is just the best auto mechanic in the world. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the feeling I have about my driving of a used vehicle that's had some problems and now doesn't have any problems. I never go anywhere without thinking, well, if there's a problem, Mike will fix it, period. And that's the kind of mechanic he is, honest and hardworking and with the best staff you've ever seen, ever. Speaking of the best staff, I want to thank Tom Fairbanks, my producer. No radio show can be as good as this one without a great producer, and Tom Fairbanks is that indeed. So thanks for listening to our politics of 2020. And I thank you so much for making this show one of the highest rated weekend shows on KVOI. It's a pleasure to be here every weekend, and I thank you for being with us. Don't forget to vote. It may be the most important vote of your life. I believe that it is.
It's now over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note, I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Emery and said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it. And I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did. And he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works. And this guy is a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me. And I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night.